In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I once heard a certain kind of person described as being like a boiled egg without any salt. And most of us have had a boiled egg with salt, and we know that it tastes pretty good, but if you've tried to eat one without salt, it's almost impossible to eat it all the way because it doesn't have any flavor. A very good dish without salt in it can taste very bland and not appetizing at all. Salt makes all the difference. Salt is a necessary element without which we would die. It's also a preservative. We still use it in a lot of our foods as a preservative, but prior to refrigeration, it was pretty much the main way that people would preserve certain kinds of foods so that they could catch a fish today and eat it later, or they could catch a fish and then package it and actually sell it somewhere else in the world, which in the Galilee area where Christ lived, they actually had a little industry where they did that. They would salt fish and they would send it elsewhere in the Roman Empire. In the verse that immediately precedes the second gospel that we just heard, which was appointed for the Holy Hierarchs of Moscow, Christ talks about how we as Christians are to be salt. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Now, pure salt cannot, by any natural means at least, become anything else other than salt. It's a basic element, as you would know from any science class that you might have taken in school. But the salt that came from the Dead Sea, which would have probably been the kind of salt that would have been generally used in Christ's time, was mixed with gypsum. And so it was possible when you crushed that together that you could wash out the salt and be left with gypsum. And that would look a lot like salt, but it wouldn't have any of the properties of salt, any of the positive benefits of salt. But the point that Christ is making is that we as Christians are to be salt. We are to be a preservative against moral decay. We are also to be the people who tell other people what the meaning of life is, because life can be a great and wonderful thing if you understand what it's all about. But if you believe that we're just here, we live and we die, and after that it's all over with, and that there's a lot of suffering that has no meaning to it, then life is a pretty miserable thing. But if we fail to be what we're supposed to be, then we're not really that. We're not really a Christian if we are not really being salt to the earth. And then it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." We're told elsewhere by Christ that he, Christ, is the light of the world. But here he says that we are the light. And in Greek, it actually is emphatic when it says, "You are the light of the world." It could be translated, if you were trying to emphasize the structure of that sentence, you would say, "You yourselves are the light of the world." So he's emphasizing that we are the light. We're not just people who believe in the light, but we are to reflect that light. We are to be transmitters of that light. Christ's light is supposed to shine through us. But if we fail to do that, we're not really being Christ's people. We're not being Christians. And then it says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel," or a basket, you might translate that, "but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." The light of Christ that is in us is intended to be seen. It would be ridiculous to light a lamp and then to put something over it to cover it, because it wouldn't do any good. And that's the same thing that it is for us to be a Christian, but to not live out that Christian life and not let other people know that we're believers, not try to have any influence on those that are around us. And then it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, if it just ended a little short of that and said, "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works," then you might take that to encourage the very kind of hypocrisy that Christ so often criticized in the gospel, because the purpose of us living the Christian life, the purpose of us shining that light is not so that people, and doing good works, is not so that people will see our good works and say, "Gee, aren't they great people?" but it's so that they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the purpose of all that. And we see that lived out in the saints that we commemorate today. Today we celebrate the holy hierarchs and wonder workers of Moscow, of whom there are quite a few, and we've added in the last several decades a couple more that were not in the original commemoration. And each of these saints have their own commemoration, and so we could talk a lot more about them when their day comes around, but I'll just mention a few. Saint Philip, he was the Metropolitan of Moscow during the days of Ivan the Terrible. Ivan the Terrible was a great political leader, but he also was a little bit off, particularly after his wife died and probably was murdered. And so he was a bit of a religious fanatic, to far in excess of anything that the Orthodox Church would endorse, and he also was very brutal. And St. Philip, knowing what kind of a man he was dealing with, had the courage to stand against him, and he paid for it with his life. And then another example would be St. Hermogenes, who was the patriarch of Moscow during the times of trouble, or the times of troubles. And he was captured by the Poles, who were Roman Catholics, and whose goal it was to force Roman Catholicism on the Russian people. And he resisted them and was starved to death. He refused to give in. St. Innocent of Alaska. We call him in America St. Innocent of Alaska. In Russia, they call him St. Innocent of Moscow because he became Metropolitan of Moscow. When I went to Russia, I think I got to venerate just about all the saints that we commemorate today at one time or another, because I went to Christ the Savior Cathedral, where St. Filaret of Moscow was. I went to another monastery where St. Tikhon was. And at the Uspensky Sobor in the Kremlin, there were four more, as I recall. But I didn't know where St. Innocent of Alaska was buried, and it just so happened when we were in the Holy Trinity de Lavra, and we had a very short period of time, unfortunately. We were only given 2 hours to see something that you could spend weeks to see all the holy things that were there, but I just happened to enter into a church and see a reliquary with a saint whose icon looked somewhat familiar, and I read the inscription, and it said St. Innocent of Moscow. And so I was fortunate to venerate his relics as well. But this man brought Orthodoxy to the Indians of Alaska, and he was a key, crucial figure in the establishment of Orthodoxy in America. And then more recently, we have St. Tikhon of Moscow, who was the first patriarch after the patriarchate was restored in 1918. And he, of course, was there when the Bolshevik Revolution took place and resisted the attempts of the Bolsheviks to force itself on the church, to force people to embrace atheism. He stood against that. He set the course of the church to be able to last out that persecution, which I know that most of us who remember that time before the Soviet Union came to an end never thought we would live to see the day that it would finally collapse, but he had the wisdom to guide the church and to tell people to do certain kinds of things that allowed the church to not only to survive, but to triumph in the face of the greatest persecution that the church has ever seen. When we see darkness in our own time and moral decay, one thing that we should do is we should repent, because why is there darkness around us? The reason is that we're not shining the light as we should, the light of Christ, because when you look at these saints and the effect that they had in Russia, we see how the light that they were shining affected those that were around them. And as a matter of fact, when you go to where their relics are to this day, you can still feel that light radiating from their relics. It's something that you'll have to experience to really understand what I'm saying. But you still feel their presence and the effect that they've had on that country. And so when we see that that's not happening around us, it's because of our own failures to be the kind of people that we need to be the salt that will prevent the moral decay from happening around us, to be the salt that will teach those around us what the meaning of life is so that they'll be attracted to the Christian faith and not embrace the meaninglessness of a life that's just simply based on bodily pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. May God, through the prayers of the holy hierarchs of Moscow, grant us grace to be what we are supposed to be the salt that gives life meaning and preserves those around us from moral decay, and to be the light of Christ that dispels the darkness of this world. Amen.